So, how's it going today, Scott?
Not too bad. We're on our way, driving down to Ignite, getting ready to prep and learn about all the awesome things that are going to be going on this week.
Yeah, this is definitely a little different. Usually we're both in our own offices, at home, doing recording that way. Now we're sitting next to each other in a car.
Yeah, what's the saying? Anytime, anywhere, any device?
Yeah.
Embracing it all.
Exactly. So if you hear a little background noise, any crashes or honking, it's because Scott quit paying attention to the road and was paying more attention to our podcast.
That's right. And, Grandpa Car fully deployed. Let's go.
All right. Sounds good. So a little update. You switched jobs here. I can't remember. Did we talk about you switching jobs yet?
No, we didn't. We didn't talk about that. Yeah, I'm going to get back into consulting a little bit and breathe some different air and see if life's different on the other side. So I was doing, I think, a little bit more technical management on the corporate side, private industry. So I'm super looking forward to it. Going to be getting into quite a bit more of the Azure platform and some of the things that go on there. So that used to be quite a bit of my background for a little while, and I've always kind of ebbed and flowed between that and Office 365 and SharePoint. So back to Azure I go.
All right. Sounds good. Sounds like fun. So maybe we'll have to talk a little bit more about Azure too. You can give us all the Azure updates. I can stick with the Office 365 stuff, and you'll get all of the wonderful Microsoft Cloud news between the two of us.
For sure, man. We'll get it all figured out.
So as we're driving down to Ignite here, enjoying the scenery on 95, there's no scenery on 95. What do you want to talk about?
I think it'd be fun to talk about some of the stuff that's going to be coming out this week. So there's going to be a bunch of announcements around Office 365, Azure. There's going to be quite a bit around Microsoft Dynamics and Dynamics 365. So maybe we can dive into a couple of those and give everybody a sense for what they should be looking out for this week as Ignite kicks off and continues through the end of the week.
All right, that sounds like a good idea. So I'll let you take your pick first. What do you want to start off talking about?
Why don't we talk a little bit about Microsoft 365 and a little bit of what that offering is going to be doing, particularly in the context of Office 365 and what Microsoft calls frontline workers.
All right, so that's not going to be confusing at all. I'm trying to keep Microsoft 365 straight and Office 365 straight and make sure we're talking about the right thing at the right time.
Yeah, well, let's help everybody out. So Microsoft 365 is an offering that is all-encompassing of Microsoft Windows, Microsoft Enterprise Mobility and Security, and Office 365. So Microsoft everything on the front, and then Office 365 in the back, add them together, and you get Microsoft 365. It's effectively like the old the ECS licensing. It's just a new model and a new way to push it through. So if you're an organization that's looking to license your users for everything at once, so Windows and Office 365, and you're looking to take advantage of a lot of these new advanced threat analytics and intelligent computing around that, it's really a great offering and something to look at.
All right, yeah, I can see some real advantages there, especially for some of these small businesses that don't have someone dedicated just to licensing, are always trying to figure out, what do I need to buy, what do I need to have, just being able to bundle it all in and just say, hey, for every user, we buy this Microsoft 365 license, and it takes care of all of their needs across their device, across the cloud services, the Exchange, the SharePoint, and across some of those security offerings.
Yeah, no, it's going to be pretty interesting. So particularly in the context of customers and more specifically small businesses, like you said. So there's this new push for what Microsoft calls frontline workers. So I don't know if everybody noticed a couple months ago, but if you had things like a kiosk SKU in Office 365, so say you had deployed like a kiosk, plan one, like a K1 SKU, all of those were automatically renamed and flipped over to F1s or frontline worker SKUs. So there was a recognition that, there's a lot of people who do work at way more than a kiosk that need access to these services, and they need to be able to push those things out. So if you look at like a frontline worker in Microsoft 365 land, they're not at a kiosk. They have some kind of a device sitting in front of them. They might not need Windows 10 Pro and kind of, or Windows 10 Enterprise and be all up licensed. Maybe they just need the new Windows 10S offering. It's good for them to have access to the online versions of Office Online, so things like Word, Excel, PowerPoint, and be able to push all that through as just kind of a frontline worker. So, there's a couple billion of those kind of folks out in the world today, so it's a great opportunity for Microsoft to capture some of that and push it through.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. Again, we got somewhat of a preview of some of what's going to be announced. We don't have all the details, so sitting in some of the keynotes tomorrow, or as people are listening to this, it's going to be hopefully right after the keynotes or shortly after them. It'll be interesting to see some of the details they announce around some of these changes to the frontline workers and to Microsoft 365 and those various plans.
Yeah, I think one of the biggest things you'll see, particularly on the kind of operational or IT pro side of the house, is more admin and operational controls around those folks. So in a world where we've gone from kind of kiosks and single device to potentially a lot more devices and a lot more workers kind of licensed and ready to go through, you're still going to need to control those things. So whether it's device controls with things like Intune or conditional access policies for Exchange and SharePoint and some of those workloads that go through, you're going to be able to maintain all that. If you deploy Windows devices, there's some new stuff coming after the fall creators update around kind of zero touch setup or auto setup. So, you know, if you've ever been doing like enterprise imaging with SCCM and kind of thin imaging, very similar, but coming along for Windows 10S and some of those other devices. So I think kind of typical to some other large Microsoft announcements, there's going to be a huge number of partners in play. So you're going to start to see a lot of kind of Chromebook-like priced components. So full-on Intel CPU, running Windows 10S, but starting at $275, $300 from Lenovo's and HP's and things like that. So you have a lot more options to get out and kind of put your workers into a little bit of a better world. So they're also going to, once you figure out like devices and access to some of these other SKUs, you're going to start to get some of those workers access to things like Staff Hub now and be able to get some of those frontline workers into things like schedule management solutions. And there's going to be a couple updates and announcements around that as well.
Yeah. So another announcement with Office 365, we don't know how much this is going to actually impact IT pros, but there's going to be a bunch of information around what Microsoft is actually going to do with that LinkedIn acquisition they made. How long ago was that now? Several months, almost maybe a year ago already.
Yeah, it's been a while since that one went through. So there's a couple things that are going to come into play there. Kind of the front end side of things, you're going to start to see some of that data integrated straight into web experiences in Office 365. We have those new intelligent people cards that pop up when you mouse over somebody's name. So you're going to start to see LinkedIn data that surfaces within that as long as users have gone ahead and configured themselves with the right company and things like that. So effectively, it makes LinkedIn another source of data to go ahead and be able to aggregate that and push it out. So if you think about things where SharePoint has been maybe poor in the past for having to have people type things in. So what are my skills? What are my past experiences? What have I done? What would you recommend me for? Those kinds of things. Quite often that's stuff that all of us put on our LinkedIn profiles and we have ready to go. So to be able to surface that and push it straight up is going to be super awesome from kind of a growing a knowledge management practice and pushing out more information about people in a super timely manner, right? It's basically real time.
Yep. Yeah, I know already. I think it's just on my mobile devices, and I'm sure some of you have noticed it too. If you have your LinkedIn set up, you get meeting invites. I actually get pop-ups now that say, hey, learn about this contact that you have a meeting with in 10 minutes. And it actually links out to their LinkedIn profile. It uses that email address. Again, they're not internal, they're external. So tying even more of it in, where you have meetings with people, you're aggregating all of that LinkedIn data up into Office 365, like you said, into those contact cards, into those profiles. Just being able to even get a sense of maybe who you're going to meet with or improve some of that CRM stuff by not relying on you entering all of that into the global address list, into even a local CRM system, but being able to pull all of that straight into Office 365 and really tie that LinkedIn data source into Office 365 wherever people are, I think could be really powerful.
Yeah, well, really we're talking about integrating that data into the graph, and having it available in that Microsoft graph is going to be just a slew of new data that comes in and lets you, I think, be able to kind of pivot around person relationships a lot quicker and be able to surface that all out and push it through. There were also some announcements around Bing and some things that are going to be going on there, which I didn't quite understand because I don't use Bing and I don't know what it is. You know, when somebody says they Bing for something, that really means they go to Google and search. But, you know, so the graph is going to be getting some new extensions and just on the data set side and should be growing in some meaningful ways.
Yeah, I was in the same boat. I actually do use Bing. Because Bing gives me Amazon gift cards.
Get out of the car.
No. So I only do it for the gift cards. Doesn't mean I still don't go to the other search engine, go to those Google guys. But when Microsoft's going to pay me to search on Bing, essentially, I might as well take advantage of it, right? I can get some free stuff from Amazon just for searching on Bing or Applebee's or wherever else I want to get a gift card to. And even using Bing, I didn't fully understand what's going on there. Again, like you said, it's some of that graph integration with Bing. It sounds like maybe trying to personalize some searches based on some of your graph data. This one is what I'm curious to try to get more information about. Maybe I'll go back and read some of it. Maybe they'll make it a little bit clearer in some of the keynotes with the demos. But this one is definitely going to be kind of an interesting one. I think it was, I can't remember if it was you I was talking to or somebody else that was on that call that made some comment of it's actually starting to sound a little bit creepy with the search engines integrated with graph and what they're doing. So
yeah, no, I think that was me. I was typing to you in the background. So really as analytics becomes a little bit more intelligent, and a little bit more proactive, right? So if you think about a world where we are today, quite often we're reactive in something. So let's go out and look at that dashboard and let's go out and find the data sources and put those things together. As these services continue to be pushed forward, they become much more proactive and they're putting all that information right in front of us. And that makes it just super creepy. You know, there's not a great technical term to kind of wrap around it, you know, but maybe we all start paying attention to Elon Musk's rules for AIs and things like that before it's too late.
Yeah, we'll have to see. So another one, we could probably spend a lot of time talking about where they have to go with this, what they're doing. If any of you were paying attention over the last couple of weeks, Microsoft, we think it was inadvertently. You never quite know. I still think some of these companies link some things themselves just to get a little bit of buzz. But there was some people that made comments about stuff showing up in Office 365 in the Message Center. I think some pop-ups when they signed in about Microsoft Teams actually replacing Skype for Business.
There was that, right? No bombshell there.
Yeah. So, surprise, surprise, that rumor mill, those messages that popped up are going to come to fruition. So, at the keynote, they're going to announce that Teams is going to replace Skype for Business. Obviously, this cannot be one of those immediate things where they're just going to turn one off and turn on the others. There's a lot of things that are going to come into play here that we can dive into. But that is official now. Teams is going to be the replacement for Skype for Business. Again, not a big surprise. You saw it coming. Teams already uses a lot of the Skype technologies under the covers when it comes to some of those video calls, the meetings within Teams. There's a lot of overlap between them around conversations, around meetings. So again, to see Teams replacing Skype for Business doesn't surprise me a whole lot. It's just they have a lot of work to do to, at least in my mind, to get to the point where they could actually turn off the Skype for Business client as it is today and replace it with just the Teams client.
So you nailed it there, right? So there's kind of the back end server side of all that, but you know, let's talk about like the client side a little bit. So if you want to replace the existing Skype for Business client, there's a lot of functionality that you have to kind of be able to push over into Microsoft Teams. So one-to-one chats, kind of those one-to-manys for people that aren't in your Teams, right? That's kind of there today, almost sort of, but not really, because it's still separate. Like, you don't always see your Skype chats in Teams. You never see your Teams chat in Skype and things like that. So, they've got to figure all that stuff out. There's no sense in today's world for Teams of things like external users, particularly for like federated chat. So you can do like Azure AD and B2B kind of things, kind of sort of almost. Really doesn't work that great. Whatever, they got to figure all that out. But in Skype land today, if I configure my tenant the right way in Office 365, I can chat with not just my other users who are licensed for Skype. I can chat with anyone else who uses Skype for Business and allows federation on their end. I can even allow it so that I can chat with Skype consumer users. So I can go B2B, B2C, C2B, just every which direction, right, back and forth. So all that stuff's going to have to come over. And then you've got to think about all the other stuff. So individual calendaring, setting up like your audio conferencing if you do ACP. You've got to bring over all the PSTN calling, so everything that's tied into Cloud PBX and everything that comes along with that. And then you've got mobile clients and desktop clients and just everything else that sits out there. So it's going to be a tall order, right? You're probably talking at least 6 months before you even start to see some of this stuff come out, but you've definitely got to start prepping yourself for it today.
Yeah, there's... Again, like you said, there's a lot of stuff. I use Skype for Business all the time. That's how I communicate with almost all of my clients. If they're internal on-prem Skype for Business, if they're Office 365, I am federated with almost all of them. I can quickly chat with them being external. For me, that's a key piece of functionality. The other one I use it all the time is PSTN calling. I have a Polycom phone that's set up to log into the Skype for Business server for my PSTN phone number. And the external users in Teams, like you said, it doesn't work great. I've gotten it set up with one of my demo tenants so I can chat with myself and one of my demo tenants. I tried to set it up with one of my clients, and I go into their Azure AD, I go try to add myself as a guest user and get it all set up so I can be an external user chatting with them in their Teams, and all it tells me is it can't add my account. Doesn't give me any other errors, doesn't give me any details about why it can't add it. It just says, sorry, we can't add your Office 365 account to their Office 365 Azure AD tenant. I don't know, we may open a ticket with Microsoft, see if we can get it working, but that is a piece that has to come a long ways. And then there are obviously going to be some server changes. Like we said, on-premises Skype for Business servers. What happens to those? Is there going to be a new server product coming out? Can they keep their existing Skype for Business server? And it's just going to tie in with tie into a new Teams-based client. How are all those details going to work if you are on-prem? Or is it not going to work? Is that Skype for Business just going to stick around as an on-prem and Teams is going to be a cloud-only offering? These are a lot of the details that, well, we know it's coming. We don't have those details yet. Another one I know you and I talked about was the cloud connector. So right now, if you have an existing on-premises PSTN, you want to integrate it with Skype for Business Online, they have this set of VMs that they call the Skype for Business Cloud Connector that you can stand up and, in theory, tie it into your on-prem PSTN, assuming you meet all the requirements, and use on-prem PSTN with Skype for Business Online. That one, I have heard that I think they're going to be coming out with a brand new either set of VMs or product, or there is going to be a brand new server-side component that I believe should still allow you to tie PSTN calling on-prem into Microsoft Teams. To me, that doesn't really sound like an easy task either.
Yeah, so there's going to be a lot of stuff with Skype, particularly like on-prem Skype server in the second half of 2018. So that's still quite a bit of ways away, right? Seeing as how we're kind of sitting in, you know, fall 2017 right now, or autumn, fall. So, you know, more to come on that, and it'll come across. I think one of the big things here, if you're kind of operationally aware, or you're even on like the organizational change or kind of change management side of things, I think there's a lot of organizations that are still in that mode of they can't take advantage of things like Teams today because they haven't lit up all the ancillary services that come along with it, right? So Teams is an offering that's built on Office 365 Groups. So to be successful with Groups, I need to be licensed for things like Skype for Business and Exchange Online and SharePoint Online to have access to all these back-end workloads, right? And quite often in the case of Teams, you're doing things like Power BI. So maybe you have Power BI Pro because you want to surface a tab. You're doing just all this other stuff. So if you're an organization that sat there and said, well, you know, I don't want to give my users Exchange licenses because I'm not done migrating them all to Exchange Online yet. Or maybe you never had any plans to. How is this going to impact you and what's Teams going to look like in there? So I think that'll be another interesting one to watch, particularly for organizations that go through and do any kind of SKU pack customization or per user license customization.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think one other announcement that could impact Office 365, it's more the Azure side, was there's going to be the Azure Threat Protection.
Yeah, so a bunch of new things coming in the way of things like ATP or Advanced Threat Protection. So they're going to kind of continue to build out based on services that have been in Azure for a while. So, you know, you've had things like conditional access controls inside of SharePoint Online, Exchange Online. That all continues to get a little bit stronger. Azure Information Protection continues to get built out. And then ATP is going to have some nice goodies that kind of continue that story around advanced malware detection, URL scrubbing, things like that, you know, as messaging's going on in your organization.
Yeah, and I can't remember what some of those changes were going to be to conditional access. I know they mentioned some additional functionality, some enhancements around some of that conditional access, ways you're going to be able to limit access even more to some of those cloud offerings. Again, we're driving, I don't have it off the top of my head. But that's going to be something to look up too, is what are some of those improvements around conditional access to help secure that data even more in the cloud? I think as I talk to clients, as I talk to people, that still seems to be one of the biggest topics that people want to talk about, that they're trying to understand, trying to figure out, is now that all of this stuff is up in the cloud, it's all accessible over the internet, how can I still help secure my data? Because typically in an on-prem world, you just disconnect it from the internet. You would require users to have VPN access. There were more physical limitations you could place to help with some of that security. And now that it's in the cloud, it's just a different mindset of how you secure your data and what controls, what functionality you have to secure it. So that should be another interesting update, another interesting topic to watch here over this week, is some of the enhancements around that conditional access as part of the advanced threat protection.
Yeah, I think one of the biggest things you'll see is, you know, even outside of just maybe some updated controls and kind of awareness of what goes on, is being able to have access to that licensing for things like your F license users, for those frontline workers. So anybody who's in that Microsoft 365 frontline space, they're getting EMS licensing with those accounts. So now you're going to start to have, better operational controls around those folks, which should be huge, right? Because like you said, that's big for compliance and being able to kind of give everybody the warm fuzzies about the cloud and really trust these solutions that they're purchasing from Microsoft.
Yeah. All right. So we've been going for almost 26 minutes here. I think those are probably the highlights, I think, that are going to come out at least at the keynote. There's definitely going to be a lot more announcements. Was there anything else from the keynote you wanted to hit on?
Let's see. There's going to be a bunch of stuff in there around some new search enhancements, or there should be. There's Dynamics 365 is getting a bunch of things, so modular apps, so a bigger focus on bringing in like SaaS components into Dynamics. The Power Apps form story continuing to get a little bit better. In Azure land, there's all sorts of stuff going on over there, right, with Azure Stack and hybrid consumption of new like data platform services, just tons and tons and tons of stuff. So everybody should definitely tune in for the Monday keynote with Satya and kind of the big Microsoft team. And then there's some breakout keynotes after that that go on Monday morning that get kind of dive into those three areas a little bit better. So Azure, Dynamics 365, and kind of the Microsoft 365 side of the world, which folks might want to check out as well.
Yep. So Scott and I are going to be there all week. We're going to try to hit a bunch of sessions, do some interviews. So we have absolutely no idea how many episodes we're going to release this week. It'll probably be more than one. We'll probably for sure at least have two, if not three or four, doing a recap of the different days. Again, try to check us out Thursday. We'll be live streaming on YouTube. So we'll put some links out on Twitter, on Facebook, try to get the information out to you. If you're not going to be at the if you are at Ignite, there are 20 seats available where you can actually sit like right across the desk from Scott and I while we record. And then there's an additional 80 seats or so in kind of a glass walled off room where you can still watch us. You'll have earbuds, you can see it on TV. You'll still actually get to be in the same room with us. So if you are at Ignite, come check it out. We have a few people that have already signed up for it, added us to their session builder. We'll have stickers that we can give you guys if you want a sticker to plaster on your laptops. And again, Thursday, it's kind of nice being towards the end of the week. That will be a longer one. That'll be an hour-long episode, but we'll try to do a good recap, especially that day, of everything that we've uncovered, that we've learned throughout the week. We might have some various interviews. We're going to try to corner some people, get some interviews there. And if you have any questions, Thursday, again, it's a little longer for us. It's an hour long. We're used to going for a half hour. So if you have any questions, topics you want us to talk about on Thursday, shoot us an email, hit us up on Twitter. There's a contact form on the MS Cloud IT Pro podcast.com website. Leave us a comment there, and we'll try to answer it live on the show Thursday. So I think that wraps us up for our episode on the go in the car. And stay tuned this week for lots of fun Office 365 Azure news.